We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Bryn Aiken. And on today's episode, I will be reviewing the movie Lisa Frankenstein. I pretty much did what I did last week, where I fell asleep before I started recording the podcast. I was going to record it last night, but yeah, I was eating dinner, and then I watched a couple YouTube videos, and then midway through one video I was watching, I fell asleep, and then the next thing I knew, I woke up, it was like 7:40. So, and then I was helping my dad with some, one of our clients, we have a lawn care service. It's just us, pretty much. But I helped him with that for a couple hours, and I just got back home. So, thank you all, everyone who's listening, or everyone who listens to the podcast. Thanks for waiting again, like you did last week, for this week's episode. I'll try to keep it to where I do record and post the reviews and next episodes on Fridays. But some nights, depending on what I'm reviewing, I may be posting them on Saturdays. But then again, I've done that before with previous seasons where I've, you know, that's pretty much my excuse or my reasoning was, oh, I fell asleep, or oh, what I had to review, it took longer than I thought it would, and I just decided to, you know, put it off until the next day, until Saturday. So yeah, I will be like I said, I will try to post the episodes and the reviews on Friday nights. But if I, like, if I'm, you know, let's say I want to watch, there's two movies that on a Friday night that I want to go see. If I see them back to back, that, like, episodes like that may be pushed to Saturday. But previous seasons, sometimes I've, you know, posted a review, an episode on Friday and Saturday, you know, like if I have time, I'll, you know, post two a week, usually on Friday or Saturday. If not, it may be in the middle of the week, again, depending on what I'm doing, and if I want to do that, and if I have time, because, you know, work and stuff, I may not have time, but if I want to, sometimes I may post an episode in the middle of the week, and I might skip that Friday. But yeah, so, you know, just know that the schedule might change depending on, it'll still mostly be on Fridays. It may also be on Saturdays sometimes, but just know it may change depending on what I'm reviewing that week. And if I have time that Friday night, you know, that night to review it, if not, it'll be pushed to Saturdays. Rest assured, I will have at least one episode per week. So, you know, you guys will have episodes until, you know, all the way till like the end of July. I just wanted to go ahead and clear that up or clarify that, because I know some of you are probably like, oh, you didn't post on Friday. That's why. I did the same thing that I did last week. So that going forward, that's there will still be one episode a week. May not be on Fridays always, depending on what I'm reviewing. Anyway, I just repeated that like three times. Anyway, so, the movie. So, Lisa Frankenstein premiered this Friday. And when I saw the trailer, I was looking forward to it because I thought, oh, this is going to be an interesting, it's pretty much a horror comedy. And it gave me vibes of, I don't know if anyone's seen this movie, My Boyfriend's Back. And it's not an 80s movie. It came out in 93, but it does feel like a late 80s, early 90s movie. I don't know. I don't even know what channel I saw it on, but I've only seen it once. And that was like 6-7 years ago, maybe. It's been a while, maybe 8 years. I don't know. It's been years since I've seen it. I saw it once on TV. It was just airing on one channel. And I was like, what's this? And I'm pretty sure I watched most of it. But I was watching it and I was like, I've never heard of this movie. This must be like it must not have done that well at the box office. And I've never heard anyone talk about it. Never heard anyone say, oh my God, this is a cult classic. You know, this is a fantastic 90s movie. Like, everyone loves this, but you know, I've never heard anyone talk about it. So I assumed it didn't do well. I liked it though, just because of how cheesy it was in a way, and how low budget it was, but also at the same time, kind of how dark it got, like unexpected. It got unexpectedly dark, like in places that I wasn't expecting it to. and just the ending too, where, because pretty much and I'll get back to Lisa Frankenstein, but the premise of My Boyfriend's Back is pretty much, there's this guy who is, and this is, again, from off the top of my head, what I remember. I remember the basic plot and a few major things that happened throughout, but the plot of the movie is pretty much, there's this high school guy, this teenager, and he gets a chance to go out on a date with, like, the hottest girl at school. Like, she's the most beautiful girl, most popular, and he's like, oh, I finally got my chance. But then and I forgot why they're there, but they go to a gas station convenience store, and there's a robbery that happens. She's about to get shot. He stands in front of her, protects her, but he gets shot and dies. They have a whole funeral and everything, and because they were going to go on a date, he's like, no, I'm coming back. And so he literally comes back from the dead through the power of love and, you know, wanting to to be with, again, the most beautiful, popular girl at school. And yeah, so he's like a zombie throughout most of it. And then there's this, like towards the end, they like try to do some, there's this scientist who does some Frankenstein experimentation on him, where they, I believe, turn him back into a regular living human instead of a pale, undead looking zombie. And, but like he dies again and goes to heaven. And, or no, he goes to heaven. Like, I believe the town forms a mob and they kill him as a, you know, a zombie. And then he goes to heaven. And then I think it's St. Peter. They're at the gates of heaven. He gets there and St. Peter's like, oh, you know what? You weren't supposed to die the first time. That was, yeah, we fucked up. It was supposed to be someone else. And then they send him back, and he becomes, as a flesh and blood human, like they don't send him back in time, but they return him to his like regular human body from before he died the first time. And him and the girl get together. And yeah, it's like a batshit insane, cheesy, but still enjoyable 90s movie. And this movie, and I just realized I'm like 7 minutes in, I haven't talked about the actual movie. But that movie very much, this movie was very reminiscent of that movie to me. Because, and the way I'm talking right now, it may seem like I like the movie better than I do. It's good, you know, but pretty much what the movie is about, it's about this girl. And it takes place in the 80s, like mid-80s. And, Well, actually, yeah, no, it's 1989. So, okay, late 80s. So about the time, like, you know, 4 years prior to when My Boyfriend's Back was released. Or like, because it takes place in, I'm assuming, 93 too, because it came out in 93. So, yeah, the when this movie takes place is 4 years from when that movie takes place, or 4 years previous. So the movie takes place in the late 80s, and there's this girl, Lisa Swallows, played by Catherine Newton, who's just kind of pretty much a misfit in her school. And she loves poetry and like the Victorian Shakespearean era type that era of time, the fashion and the clothing and the poems and the people. And she there is this, and we actually don't, I believe we don't find his name out. They just refer to him as the creature. But she wants to be with this dead guy who is from that era. And it's her favorite grave in this abandoned cemetery. It's the, was it the Beverly, I forgot what it was called. It's like the Beverly Cemetery or something. I actually forgot. I forgot where the cemetery is. But the, so she very much wants to be with this guy, and she wishes for him to come to life, and the wish literally brings him back, and it brings him back as a corpse, and he joins her, you know, just pretty much just becomes her friend and later lover, and later becomes her boyfriend. And the two of them, over the movie, he slowly starts to become more and more human, like he was before his death. Because when she first brings him back and he shows up at the house, she freaks out, and then she realizes who he is, and that she's like, oh my god, my wish worked. He is like he's limping, and he's rotting and dirty and smelly, and he can barely open his mouth, and he doesn't talk until the very end of the movie. So, and Cole Sprouse, by the way, is the one who plays is the guy who plays the creature. And I actually liked him. I thought he did a pretty good job, and I liked Catherine Newton as Lisa. I thought the two of them had good chemistry. And but yeah, the movie is them slowly starting to fall in love with him, and vice versa, him starting to fall in love with her. And throughout the movie, they slowly start to bring him back to his original form while killing. basically, yeah, any parts that he's missing, they find people that are kind of shitty or kind of assholes, kill them, and they sew the part onto his body, and they use her stepmother's tanning bed to do some, you know, like Frankenstein-type experimentation, and fuse the part to him so that way it works. So, like, they kill... well, actually, he was the one... And she was kind of a bitch. She was an asshole. I totally get why he did that. And Lisa didn't have any part in him doing this, but he is in her closet, and her stepmother, Janet, is just, you know, she's a narcissist. She's just, because Lisa's mother was murdered like a year ago. It's been like a year or two, I believe, when her mother was murdered by this mask wearing crazy axe murderer, and she, you know, it doesn't take much for her to bring that up. She almost always brings that up any chance she can, and she's ranting and to Lisa, talking about how, oh, you're crazy, you're traumatized from the incident, I'm gonna put you in a psych ward, because she's like a psychiatrist and a nurse, and but you know, she doesn't know that the creature is standing, the zombie is standing behind her in the closet. He opens the closet door, and then he knocks her out with, I think it was like a typewriter, but he knocks her out with some heavy ass blunt object that was in Lisa's closet, and they knock her out, and because he's missing an ear, they're like, okay, well, we'll just cut her ear off and attach it to you, and they use her tanning bed to fuse they stitch it, you know, they bury her. They cut the ear off. They bury her in the cemetery where he came from, and they, and then they stitch the ear on. And then they put him. He goes in the tanning bed. It fuses to him, and he can hear out of that ear. And then they, you know, find a dude that was being an asshole to her at this party, who also goes, he's her lab partner, and he goes to the school too. And they, he was like trying to, he wasn't, I guess you could say he sexually assaulted her, but she accidentally got drugged. She drank some, I think, PCP out of a cup of beer, like a solo cup. And she, you know, the guy who handed it to her didn't know that it had any drugs in it, but she drank it. She was feeling woozy. And this guy, this lab partner of hers, takes her upstairs to one of the empty bedrooms. And he's like, he seems nice at first, but then he reveals that, oh, he's just like a pervy asshole. And he like touches her boob, and then he grabs her hand and puts it on his crotch. And she's like, yeah, I'm getting the hell out of here. And like, she just walks out. And then when she was like, oh yeah, let's go on a date, like, she leaves him a note in his locker later. And he's like, okay, yeah, sure, we'll do that. And then when they were walking through the woods, I'm like, oh, she's going to kill him. And and the creature's missing a hand, so they knock his ass out and cut his hand off and kill him and throw him in a grave. And yeah, so, you know, I mean, there were some good twists and turns, you know, and I just realized, I guess I'm spoiling most of them. And also, I guess I should have mentioned, this is a spoiler. This review has spoilers in it. But there's a scene which I didn't expect at all, where he reveals that he doesn't have a penis, and Lisa finds out that the guy she likes, Michael, has just slept with, is sleeping with, or at least it seems like it's probably the first time that they slept together, but it seems like they've been seeing each other for a while. And yeah, it seems like they've been seeing each other for a while. And and yeah, Elisa catches them like after they've finished sleeping together. The creature walks up and chops his penis off with it, with the same axe he chopped was it Mark? I forgot the guy's name, but her lab partner's hand off with the same axe. He chops it off, and then he bleeds out in his bed and he dies. And Taffy, her Elisa's stepsister, is obviously traumatized by this, and she just like walks out of that, or Lisa drives her away from the house, and she's like, look, I know this is weird. I'll explain all of this later. You've been a great stepsister, Taffy. I'm not mad at you for sleeping with him. And then she just gets out of the car, walks to the grave where the creature's going, and Taffy's just still like, she's like shaking, covered in blood and feathers from the pillow. She's just like walking back. I felt so bad for her. But yeah. And then, yeah, you know what? I'm pretty much just explaining everything that are the major plot points, but yeah. So they sew Michael's penis back onto the creatures. Then they sleep together, they have sex. And then, but because all these bodies are going missing, or their body counts piling up, they are pretty much, the cops are getting suspicious of Lisa, and Lisa's like, oh shit, you know what, we'll be together, but I can't go to jail, so you're gonna have to kill me, and she dies. And they set the tanning bed to like the highest setting available on it, and they pretty much, pretty much causes a fire. And it burns that section of their Lisa's house down, the garage where the tanning bed is. And then the movie ends with the creature actually speaking fluently. He's reading a poem to Lisa, and Lisa's like, and we see they're sitting. At first, we just see him. He's sitting on a bench. He's reading a poem to her. It's like near a lake, and we don't actually at first we don't know that it's that he's reading to anyone. He's just reading on a bench. But then the camera pans around and we see that Lisa is sitting on his lap, or laying her head. She's like laying down on the bench, and she has her head in his lap. And he pretty much, yeah, is reading a poem to her. And we see that she is wearing this red dress, and she's got gauze wrapped all around her hands and face, most of her face, because she, you know, because the horrible burns that she received from the tanning bed fire. And and I just pretty much explained the whole movie. There was a little more that happened, but that was pretty much most of it. I guess maybe the reason I explained most of the movie was because it was all right. It was good enough. I was definitely expecting more. I was expecting it to be funnier than it was, and I guess I was also maybe expecting it to be a little bit more horrifying, maybe a little bit more, maybe not jump scares, but, you know, maybe more of a higher body count, or maybe some more gore. You know, not to an excessive point, but still, I was like, well, maybe it could have dialed it up on the horror or the gore right here. They could have dialed it up on the jokes, and they didn't, which is fine. It was decent. Like, I'll say this. It's a decent horror comedy that has some good jokes. It has some good jokes and some good and a good concept. I really love the concept. The 80s aesthetic, the setting. I love the setting, and I love the wardrobes on everyone. You know, the outfits, very 80s. It looks and feels like it's set in the 80s. And I like the chemistry between Lisa and the creature. I thought Catherine Newton, who I've only seen in Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, which, you know, like when I reviewed that movie last year, I was like, well, this wasn't great. I was expecting more, but she did a good job, you know, and especially considering they recast her, because I forgot who it was before her, and she only had like one, or she was only in two scenes in Endgame when he comes back from the quantum realm. And he's like, oh my God, what happened? You know, and he goes to his house and he sees Cassie is older because, you know, he's been gone 5 years. And then we see her, you know, she has the same, just like, oh, Dad, and they hug. And then at the end, we see Scott, what was Evangeline Lilly's name? Hope. Yeah, Hope. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, we see Scott and Hope and Cassie sitting on their porch. I think they're watching fireworks or they're looking at the stars. So she was only in two scenes, but then, you know, they recast her with Catherine Newton and, you know, she got more screen time, obviously, because she was in that whole movie. And I liked her in that movie. But that's the only thing I've really seen her in. I'm sure she's been in more movies and shows. But I really liked her as Lisa. I thought, you know, she was charming, charismatic, and, you know, had some funny lines. And I liked her. I liked the development and the bonding and the romance between her and the zombie. and I thought Cole Sprouse did a good job. I was like, oh, this is interesting. Him playing a rotting zombie, having just been brought back to life and seeing his evolution throughout the movie, where he goes from at first just a limping, rotting, smelly corpse to, you know, at the end of the movie, in the last scene, waxing lyrics at Lisa, and or waxing limericks or whatever that phrase is. So, you know, that was cool, and it was kind of neat that, yeah, he pretty much didn't talk until the very end of the movie. So throughout most of the movie, it's just grunts, like you know, or just like a moan or a scream, you know, but like no dialogue really, except for the very end. So I thought that's cool, because again, you know, him having played Cody in The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody and Jughead in Riverdale, you know, those two are very different roles, you know, just the two of them. And then this role is very different from that. So I was like, oh, this is cool that he's branching out and doing a different role, something completely different from those two, which, again, like I said, were already two completely different roles, two completely different characters in a way. I mean, I guess you could say Jughead is kind of intelligent. Cody is too. But they're kind of intelligent in different ways. Like, Cody is a little bit more scientific in a way, book smart, and Jughead's more, well, I guess Jughead's kind of book smart too, but I don't know. They just kind of both have a different attitude about them in a way. But they are kind of the smart characters in their show, in their respective shows. But yeah, so they were good. I really liked, and I don't know what I've seen, what else she's been in, but, Liza Soberano. I'm probably butchering that name. let me see. How do you... Liza... Soberano. Soberano. I'll say Soberano. I hope I'm not butchering that. She did a great job as the stepsister, as Taffy. I liked that she kind of had some snarky remarks, but it was more like just family banter. It wasn't really... She wasn't a bitch, you know, she wasn't an asshole to Lisa, and I liked that. Like, there was some snarky backhanded comments, but there were some jokes that she made kind of at Lisa's expense, but they were all in good fun. At no point did I really feel like she was being rude to her or bullying her. And she, you know, and throughout the movie, she shows that, like, she is very nice to her, and I felt so bad for her when, you know, after Lisa and the zombie have murdered her mom, and because before she got murdered, she was supposed to be leaving town for a convention, and she didn't. So, you know, when she was supposed to get home by the end of that weekend or Monday night, or Sunday night, I think. So yeah, so when she doesn't show up, Lisa's dad and Taffy. Who Dale is Lisa's father's name. Yeah, so Dale and Taffy are like, where's Janet at? And yeah, it felt bad for them. But they just accept, you know, they eventually find out that she died and they accept it. And they accept Lisa being dead, even though, you know, she came back as a zombie. I'm curious how that resolved. I mean, I guess maybe she just never went back to Taffy and Dale, her stepsister and father. Maybe she just stayed with, I'll call him Cole because he doesn't have a name, or they didn't give him a name. Yeah, so maybe Lisa just stayed with Cole, you know, just out in the woods, out in the cemetery, and Maybe they every now and then they just went and, I don't know, stole food. Because, yeah, I was wondering. I was like, well, what are they going to do for food and stuff like that, you know? But yeah, I mean, yeah, so I liked the sister dynamic between Lisa and Taffy. Oh, and her father, Dale, Lisa's father, and, what you know, Taffy's stepfather, he is played by Joe Crest, who, you know, as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, wait, I've seen him before. He was the dad in Stranger Things. He was Mike's dad, Ted. And when he popped up, I'm like, wait, isn't that the dad from Stranger Things? So I thought, oh, that's cool. And he's kind of essentially playing the same character where he's kind of not absent-minded, but just kind of like just goes with the flow and very nonchalant, you know, typical 80s dad in a way. Like, yeah, that's fine, sweetie. You know, I mean, but not saying like he's not a presence in Lisa or Taffy's lives. It's just he's very, you know, keeps to himself, kind of, you know, very mundane, nonchalant, white bread 80s dad, you know, and just you know, minds his own business, but still is very supportive and kind to his kids. And yeah, you know, essentially playing the same role he did in Stranger Things, or he does in Stranger Things. But yeah, I thought, you know, I was like, he's a good dad. He's nice. And, you know, the fact that, you know, it's just him and Taffy at the end of the movie, the only two members of their family left. I was like, well, they'll get through. They'll see it to the end. Or, I mean, you know, they'll make it as a family, hopefully. I mean, they didn't seem to, I mean, not saying they didn't seem like they were still in the grieving process of, you know, grieving Janet and Lisa, but they didn't seem like that they were suicidal or that they were going to just be in a complete depression from it. They seem like, you know, it's like, oh, they at least they have each other. So that was good. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, so, it, you know, could have been funnier, could have been, you know, could have had more jokes, or it could have had some more gore and horror, or it could have had both, you know. But, you know, it not having much of either, or not enough to me of either, you know, it's a decent movie. And the 80, you know, like I said, the characters are pretty good, the acting's pretty good, and the 80s vibe and aesthetic and the wardrobes are nice. But overall, it's not a movie I regret, you know, and this is the first film I've seen of the year. So overall, not a bad start, really, to for it being the first film of the year. Not a bad one to start off with. Not the best, but, you know, I could have seen something worse. And for what it's worth, it was decent. I don't regret having seen it. And I definitely, if it was on again, or, you know, I was with someone, they were watching it, I wouldn't mind watching it again. If someone I knew, family or anything, wanted to watch it, I wouldn't be opposed to watching it again. I definitely don't feel like it was a waste of time. I enjoyed it for what it was. But yeah, definitely, I could have been better. I guess maybe I was expecting more jokes and horror. But yeah, so not something that I would... I guess it's not a movie that I am like, oh yeah, I gotta watch this. But if it's on... Like, if it's on TV, you know, I may sit down and watch it again. But yeah, as it is, you know, I was thinking a 7, but I thinking it, you know, reflecting on it, because, you know, the following day, I'm thinking back on it. I think, you know what, I'll give it a 6 out of 10. So, just a little bit above the halfway point. Again, like I said, the acting was pretty good, the 80s vibe, the wardrobes and everything were pretty good. I guess just the script could have been stronger. You know, like maybe the dialogue could have been a little bit snappier. There could have been more jokes. And the dialogue's not terrible, you know. And the chemistry between everyone, especially Lisa and the creature, or Catherine Newton and Cole Sprouse, is good. It's just, you know, it could have been snappier and wittier and more horrific. but, yeah, so it could have been stronger. But, yeah, so I'd give it 6 severed hands out of 10. So if I had to rank it, but yeah, I guess, yeah, the pretty much shorter review, this week than last week. Definitely. I guess, yeah, just cause I didn't have that much more to say about it other than what I said. And I guess cause I wasn't as enthused with this one as I am with a lot of other movies that I review. or most movies and shows that I review. So I was like, well, I don't have much else to say about it. But yeah, so, I mean, obviously not the worst movie I've ever seen. So, you know, it's got that going for it. but yeah, I mean, would I recommend it? Yeah, I'd recommend it. I mean, if you like horror and comedy, if you like horror comedies, if you like Catherine Newton and Cole Sprouse, you know, definitely go see it for them, because I feel like their chemistry, their you know, ever building romance throughout the movie, I'm like, this was good, and it made the movie even better than what it was, which was already kind of average, you know. but if you know, if you like 80s movies or that 80s aesthetic, that Stranger Things 80s vibe aesthetic, you'll definitely like it. Yeah, so, you know, go see it. I don't know. It seems like, from what I'm reading, and it seems like it's gotten mixed reviews from critics so far. Like, I think it's like a 61% on Rotten Tomatoes or something like that. So it doesn't seem like everyone seems kind of like to where, it seems like the critics and audiences are where I'm at with the movie, where it's just kind of like 6 out of 10, average, you know. But yeah, go see it if you are into any of what I just listed. so yeah, I guess that does it for, well, I was going to say tonight's episode. I guess that does it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Next week's episode, which I'll probably, I'll probably be thinking about it throughout the week, and I may change my mind, on the order of the list. But next Friday, yeah, I'll do it next Friday. I'll have more time. And I do mean it this time. but yeah, next Friday, will be my another ranking episode, because the Super Bowl is tomorrow. So I will be ranking my top 10 favorite commercials of this year's Super Bowl, like I did last year and the year before. So, and I'm going to keep doing this every year, just because I liked doing it the first time, and in 2022. And last year I was like, well, I did it 2022, why not again? So now it's pretty much become tradition, where I have an episode where I, you know, every year where I rank my favorite commercials from the Super Bowl that year. So I will, that will be next Friday's episode. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's episode. I will see you all next Friday night for that review or that episode. And, yeah, hope you have a great, weekend and a great week. And until next Friday, until then, take care.